Welcome to the Docs Who Lift podcast, where we distill and simplify the complexities of a healthy lifestyle, exercise, medicine, and weight loss. We're excited to bring you a podcast that's a prescription for clinical practice, scientific recommendations, and just real life. This is the Docs Who Lift podcast.
Hey, welcome back to the Docs Who Lift podcast. Hot off the press, we have a New England Journal of Medicine study looking at semaglutide in MASH, metabolic dysfunction associated steatohepatitis, what people formerly called non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. So if you remember, my brother, co-host, Dr. Carl Nadolski Jr., was on the guidelines for the ACE, and he got in big trouble because he went on the podcast talking about the guidelines before they were available.
We literally, that's been 3 years, I think.
That's been 3 years.
When we were first doing this, we were very excited. It was being presented and published the week of the national meeting. We recorded it. And once I was there, we released it. And all of a sudden, everybody from leadership was like, no, take it off, take it down. Oh, shit.
Yeah. Okay. You got in trouble. Anyways, so this is a study looking at semaglutide for the treatment of this. So pull up the study, Dr. Carl. Let's go over what this, if you want to give a brief overview of MASH.
So the basics of it. So the metabolic dysfunction associated steatotic liver disease, which used to just be called non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, is really an obesity related complication, kind of like part of metabolic syndrome. You know, it's really associated with insulin resistance. It goes up a lot with type 2 diabetes. Really, it's a storage of, you know, we talk about cholesterol and lipids and triglycerides, a lot of triglyceride in the liver. So when your body's adipose tissue is not functioning correctly, you start to store more in your visceral area, your abdominal area, and in your liver, and your pancreas, et cetera. And so when you have a certain threshold of fatty liver, that's when we talk about this metabolic dysfunction associated steatotic liver disease. They changed the name because
MASH. Call it MASH.
That's MASH-hold.
No, MASH. What I was saying, MASH.
MASH
the secondary.
Right. MASH is metabolic associated steatohepatitis. So inflammation of the liver. So it's a more severely active inflammatory form of MASH-hold or fatty liver with inflammation and liver cell damage. And the reason this matters so much is not just because you don't want to have fat in your liver. That's actually not that big of a deal metabolically, other than all the other things we talk about, type 2 diabetes, insulin resistance, triglycerides, etc. But it's the smaller percentage of people who then have an advanced progression of that disease process that includes what we call fibrosis. So now there's like real damage of the liver, and then that increases the risk of real major adverse liver events. Just like we talk about adverse cardiovascular events, heart attacks and strokes and stuff. Well, this is potentially leading to cirrhosis and also hepatocellular carcinoma or liver cancer. And so anyways, the prevalence of MASH-hold, just fatty liver, is like over a third of people worldwide, according to some recent meta-analyses. Now, it, of course, depends on what countries have the ability to do that, whatever. When people have obesity complicated by type 2 diabetes, that prevalence goes up to almost two-thirds of people have fatty liver. Now, the percentage of those who go on to progress to MASH is much lower, but when you do, that's really severe, and we need to be able to treat that. We want to prevent it, first of all, and we can talk about all those, the basic ways that we know how to do that and the data we have to do that. It's basically weight loss, improved nutrition, more exercise.
We have
exercise.
A whole podcast on it.
Yeah, the whole
we literally
podcast,
have a whole
so you can
podcast.
Go back to that. And so so obviously we have medications for type 2 diabetes and weight loss that have been investigated now to see if we can reduce this. And improving MASH, the actual inflammation, is much harder than reducing the amount of liver fat, just like with fatty liver. And so it's been a much harder target, I guess, to achieve, a much harder outcome. We do have a recently approved, in fact, the only thing that's approved for this specifically is a thyroid hormone receptor agonist, essentially. It's a beta agonist that works in the liver. But these new, relatively new, not really new, diabetes and weight loss medications have been studied. And so this big trial, the Essence trial, this was actually just an interim analysis. So there are two parts to this. And so they have the first 800 patients who completed 72 weeks of the treatment. They were randomized to essentially what people know as Wegovy or semaglutide, not Ozempic. So Ozempic is approved for type 2 diabetes, has a little bit different dosing, but this is Wegovy. So they titrated them up to 2.4 milligrams. It was in a 2-to-1 ratio. So for people, that just means twice as many people got the medication. And in these people, they had biopsy defined. So really the best way to diagnose this is with biopsy. Obviously, most people don't want to get a biopsy, so we have all sorts of non-invasive ways to do it. But for the studies, they're definitely doing biopsy-defined MASH and a fibrosis stage of 2 or 3. So fibrosis stages are 1, which is not really significant, not a big deal. 2 and 3, which is clinically significant fibrosis, and then 4, which is essentially cirrhosis. And so when you get into these stages, the risk of the liver events and also cardiovascular events and all that stuff goes like a lot higher. And so so the bottom line is, so they want to make sure that people aren't drinking a lot of alcohol, because obviously there's alcoholic fatty liver and hepatitis. There are other causes of hepatitis. And we know in reality, some people with metabolic obesity-related fatty liver also have some alcohol. And so, there, you know, there's sometimes some overlap. So one of the things they wanted to do is make sure that nobody was drinking more than like a serving or whatever of alcohol for females, a couple for men. They called it 20 and 30 grams daily. And they wanted to make sure they didn't have like advanced liver disease from anything else, and a few other things like kidney disease and poorly controlled hyperglycemia. And everyone got some the basic lifestyle interventions, improved nutrition, exercise recommendations. And what they're really looking at, so we're going to talk about some of the weight loss, because weight loss is very important for improving MASH and reducing these stages of fibrosis. We really want to get over 10% weight loss to start achieving these clinical benefits. But in these studies, they want to see, okay, is it really helping the liver? So they want to see, are we resolving the inflammation without making any fibrosis worse? And are we reducing the fibrosis stage without any worsening steatohepatitis or liver inflammation? And so the study has started off with about 1,200 people, but like I said, 800 enrolled. The first 800 enrolled were in this one. So it was 534 that got the semaglutide or Wegovy, 266 to placebo. The average age, 56 years old. The average BMI was 35. Two-thirds of the people are Caucasian. More than 50% of the people in this study were female, just like a lot of the obesity trials, mostly are female. And over half of them, 56%, had type 2 diabetes. 31% were in that earlier stage 2 fibrosis, 69% with stage 3, and the weight loss was about 10.5% versus 2% in the placebo group, which is fairly maybe what we would expect for a mixed group of obesity without diabetes and obesity with diabetes. And the bottom line, the resolution of the NASH without any worsening fibrosis was 63% versus 34%, and they did have a tendency, it looks like, going down in the fibrosis without any worsening steatohepatitis also. So this is very clinically meaningful. Now, this is just part one of the trial. You know, I don't know when part two will come out, you know, maybe in a year or two.
Well, no, as it says, it's like 240 weeks.
Yeah, So it's going to be a long time then. So
it's a long time.
So this was just the first part to show that yes, all right. So this is working. This should result in improved health. So this is
we have data on some of the newer. There was a tirzepatide one that came out.
Yeah. So so the tirzepatide trial, that was still phase 2. So they're still working on their big phase 3 trial. Certainly smaller numbers compared to this. But they had in their 3 different doses. So for people, the Mounjaro, Zepbound, 5, 10, 15 milligram doses, their weight loss was about 11%, a little over 13%, 15.5% versus 1% for placebo. And their MASH, that inflammatory resolution, was 44, 56, and 62%. Versus about 30% for placebo. So kind of similar.
So very similar.
But again, that was a smaller phase two trial.
Yeah. Right?
And I'll tell you, the phase two trial for the semaglutide earlier on was, you know, it certainly looked beneficial in the grand scheme of things, like lowering liver fat. Like I said, that's what is the easiest thing to do. Just like lowering triglycerides in your cholesterol panel with weight loss. But it didn't really have... It was a little disappointing, I think, in some of the inflammatory, the histology, the biopsy type stuff. But right. In that tirzepatide trial, they did have, you know, between 45 and 60%, like I said, MASH resolution. They also had, you know, around 50% fibrosis improvement compared to just 30% with the placebo lifestyle arm. And, you know, the only thing that really beats these so far, I mean, I know you know what that is. There's one treatment where it kind of is the best for this type of thing. And that's bariatric surgery. So we know that obviously gastric sleeve, gastric bypass have substantial weight reduction, but tirzepatide and semaglutide are certainly knocking on that door and may have some other, you know, target effects, metabolic effects on the liver, which is why these have been so exciting for, I think, beyond just even like endocrinologists, but also for the liver docs. But still, bariatric surgery is still actually, you know, like the best thing we have. Although if you looked at the numbers, it's not out of the realm. I mean, it's still like 60% NASH or MASH resolution, 50% improved fibrosis. But, you know, we also have like they also have substantial weight loss and all the other benefits. And, in some of those liver trials with those, they have, definitive cardiovascular risk reduction, which, you know, we certainly, see and expect in the, Ozempic Wegovy trials in obesity and type 2 diabetes, and hope we'll see that with tirzepatide.
So I'm looking at the
Survodutide. Yeah, that's going to be.
Survodutide.
This is a pipeline medication coming down the pike.
Glucagon. It combines GLP-1, no GIP component like tirzepatide, but it's GLP-1 with glucagon. And it's thought that the glucagon actually directly affects the liver in terms of
It has more metabolic effect to it, like true, you know, like maybe.
So this was a phase two trial, and I'm just looking. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got to compare these head to head, but it looks kind of similar. It's like around a 62% or so.
But again, pretty small trial, as I recall, in that. So
yeah,
if that phase three patients. Trial goes a long time and has like really dramatic benefits.
It's only 48 weeks. So
that's the one that I think from my understanding for the people, you know, doing the research with these pipeline drugs, that's the one that's pretty exciting in the near future for obesity related fatty liver. And it might even go down that route specifically because I think in the non-liver obesity trials, there were some risks that maybe outweighed the benefits compared to in just the liver trial, as I recall. I don't want to speak too much on that.
We'll see.
Because it's like very
interesting
nuanced
stuff. Retatrutide should be similar as well because it has that glucagon component and melts the fat off of everybody.
Substantial weight reduction. Yeah. So really, you know, like if we go back to those guidelines that we wrote a few years ago, the best evidence we have for treating what I would like to call obesity-related, you know, MASLD essentially, but they decide to call it metabolic dysfunction associated, is the weight reduction. So obviously we want to do that through quality diet, a little bit more Mediterranean pattern, but carb cutting, fat cutting, higher fiber, you know, Mediterranean fats, nuts, seeds, olives, fish, et cetera, all the things that you would think based upon all the evidence we have that are good for metabolic health, regardless of weight, but with a caloric reduction to lose the weight and really a target over 10%. 5% weight loss reduces the fatty liver, just like reducing triglycerides. So it's a little bit lower threshold, but then you really have to get over 7% and really to start seeing the histological, the true liver benefits in people with inflammatory disease, more than 10% weight loss, which, you know, as we know, we've talked about all the time, easier said than done with just diet and exercise can be done. But we're certainly appreciative to have medications that not only help people achieve that meaningful weight loss, but may also have the other health benefits with it. In the case of semaglutide, you know, if someone has heart disease, kidney disease, liver disease, I mean, that's a pretty good slam dunk, because we know for sure we have great data that shows it reduces the risks of all those things.
So here's what we think is going to come from this. And I know from the inside, Novo is going to be looking for FDA indication approved for this specific issue.
I heard a rumor they're already recruiting reps for this. So they really think it's coming. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that.
I'm sure they do. But, you know, again, they got to, I don't know, whatever. It's
cost.
The whole thing. So there's it's cost. Price and cost. So if anybody's listening, there was just an announcement by the CVS pharmacy benefit manager that they're going to switch from Zepbound on their formulary to Wegovy. And patients are pissed. If anybody has taken both of these medicines, 98% of people probably prefer the Zepbound over Wegovy. Better tolerated, more powerful. Once in a while, you get somebody that goes, nope, I couldn't tolerate Zepbound. I did better with Wegovy. It does happen, not frequently, but once in a while. So Novo's trying to figure out how to stop the Lilly train.
Well, that obviously means they came up with some sort of better financial deal, which is reasonable. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
from a pure fiscal perspective. Both of these medications for right now, and this is where, you know, I know we differ a little bit, but when we talk about the spectrum of disease of obesity, it is not just a disease of weight. We know that. I know we all agree on that. The severity of disease is based upon things like what we're talking about. Do they have fatty liver? How bad is their fatty liver? What stage do they have of fibrosis, and what is their ultimate risk? Do they have heart disease? Do they have heart failure? Do they have kidney disease? Do they have type 2 diabetes? The more disease you have, the more either of these medications is really indicated. And in fact, I'd argue, based upon what data are published, and that's the thing, we can't just say what we think is going to happen, but semaglutide has this study now published. It was presented back in November. I remember I made a slide based upon the top line results and shared that. And so it took
those top line results will get you every time.
Yeah, 6 months before it got published. But so this publication, the cardiovascular risk data with Wegovy and Ozempic, the renal data, the flow trial in type 2 diabetes, and obviously the great benefits in type 2 diabetes. So I can see, you know, an argument from a clinical perspective, just based purely on evidence, even though we fully expect tirzepatide to maybe do better ultimately because of more robust weight loss. But again, they are expensive in the United States, and there's not much we can do about that right now. That's a government, big commercial insurance, big problem.
Here's all they need to do. All they need to do is make it so much cheaper that
But
people
they
can
have
just pay
to
cash
pay for their direct-to-consumer marketing and commercials. Those are expensive, and we're the only country that allows it. So, you know, that's fine. So they got to pay for those. You know, they got to spend $1 million on commercials. That's fine.
Whatever. Yeah, imagine getting rid of those things and then just making these drugs so cheap, direct-to-consumer, that like, okay, you got some obesity, you don't have very much risk, and you want to do it for some vanity weight loss with an indication, mind you. Sure, go ahead, pay for it out of pocket. It's $100 a month, whatever.
Safe meds, mind you, but lots of them. Nice. If anybody ever watched Fresh Prince, that's a thing. Safe sex, mind you, but lots of it.
So, okay, well, good. We got another drug. We got another indication that's probably going to pop up. We need all the different things we can get to basically show that obesity and its sequela are problematic and we should be treating it early. Because you don't want to wait till people develop cirrhosis.
That's a problem. So the more advanced the fibrosis becomes, the harder it is to reverse it. And cirrhosis, you know, that's a whole different thing. And I mean, if it becomes what they call uncompensated, that's trouble for sure.
That is trouble.
We'll get our GI docs on here to, you know, the liver specialist to get more into that.
We need a liver specialist. Well, if there's a liver specialist, if there's a hepatologist listening, we should probably.
My guy, for today, couldn't make it yet. Well, he's an endocrinologist.
Yeah. Okay. What was it?
Cava.
Cava. All right. We'll get Cava on there. All right. If you have friends or family or anybody that, you know, may have some issues with their liver due to their adiposity, excess weight, make sure you send them this. We don't get paid by Novo Nordisk.
Not yet.
Wish I got paid by Eli Lilly. I'm on the Lilly train. Just kidding, Novo. I like you too. If I can't get Zepbound.
Now we're going to get a bunch of hate mail from the Novo reps.
Hate, 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 No, they message me secretly and say, we already know, but whatever. I'm not naming names.
No, they're both anyway. All these are great medications. We got to get the costs down. They in my opinion, should be reserved for those with more severe disease anyways.
But NovoCare just comes out with and makes it $4.99. And that's the same price that you can get direct to consumer with Zepbound.
Right. They need to make it cheaper in vials.
I will shill your drug if you make them vials.
For free, mind you.
I'll do your bidding. You don't even need commercials. But like, here's how you beat Eli Lilly.
We were just about to sign off 2 minutes ago. Now Spencer's going down the rabbit hole.
Clickable pen. So instead, you can do in between doses. Not everybody can jump from 1 milligram to 1.7, or even from 1.7 to 2.4, or even from 0.5 to 1. It doesn't happen all the time.
I did hear a rumor that that's in the talks. Those are available in other countries.
In other countries.
So we do have patients that get that.
Bring it down. Bring it down to, if you can't do $100 a month, make it $199. You will win. I promise you. I have a feeling you guys can't even make enough of the drug to keep it in stock, but that's how you win. You know, get someone. Come on. You don't need. It doesn't take a genius to figure this out.
Come on, Denmark. You guys, let's go.
You guys have like $1 trillion company. Market research. This is pretty easy. Clickable. Why can't I say it? Clickable pens.
Because you're in between doses.
That's a click of my mouse. Clickable.
Oh, we just
pens
got canceled.
In between doses. In between doses. So that people can actually tolerate this, make it cheaper. That's it. That's all you have to do. Don't think people are going to start doing your NovoCare for $4.99. Come on. Get out of here.
Sorry, guys.
Sponsor our podcast, please. Thank you.
Then we'll
just tell everybody. Sponsor this, please. Thank you. Bye.
This podcast is for entertainment and education and information purposes only. Remember, the physicians on this podcast are not your physician. It should not be considered professional or personalized medical advice. It should not be used to replace speaking with your physician or medical professional to discuss your specific health concerns. The topics discussed should not be used solely to diagnose or treat any condition. As a result, we are not responsible for any unwanted medical outcomes. The views and opinions discussed are of those of the host only and do not represent those of any other entities. We'll be right back.